Welcome to Culture Voice, an international perspective on the marketing of arts and culture, in partnership with the Arts Marketing Association of the UK. And now, your hosts, Carol Jones and Ron Evans.
My name is Carol Jones. I'm the editor of Culture Hive, and I'm here with my co-host, Ron Evans, principal consultant of Group of Minds in the US. And in this episode, we're going to talk about experiments that worked. Ron, this is something you specialize in, the science of behavioral psychology and designing experiments that challenge assumptions. What's new your side of the pond?
Well, glad to be here with you, Carol, and I'm excited that we are relaunching Culture Voice under the banner of Culture Hive, which is a fantastic online resource I use all the time. And today's topic, experiments that work, kind of ties right in with the website, because if you go on Culture Hive, there are so many case studies and experiments that others have written. That's what I want to see. Instead of reinventing the wheel and thinking that you're the only one out there trying to accomplish what you've set to accomplish, do the researcher's part. Read Culture Hive first, look around online, see if anybody else has done anything close to what you're doing so that you could pick up where they left off. Save yourself all that time and effort, and probably save yourself from bumping your head on some of those low-hanging branches that others have already done before you. So this is a tremendous topic and something that we all should be looking at, experimenting in marketing.
I found something on Culture Hive that you'd written or presented when I checked it out earlier today, Ron. And you and I could remember vaguely you talking about it at an AMA conference a while back. And I found it on Culture Hive. And it was you talking about this concept of micro experiments and how you apply this scientific process to developing audiences and how we can all do it. We can put experiments into our day-by-day working practice. What fascinated me, and I'd forgotten about it completely, was you gave a commercial example of candy, what you'd call candy, what we'd call chocolate, and every bar having a, if the candy had a green label on it, it meant that it was healthier. And the psychology behind that was really fascinating.
Yes, Carol, isn't that strange that something as simple as the color of the label could affect people's perception on how healthy something is? So this is a true story. Researchers found, the candy manufacturers found, those are the researchers, that when they put the calorie count on the back of candy bars with a green label, people felt that those candy bars were healthier options than candy bars with any other color label on the back. So it goes to show you, looking at the human brain and trying to understand why we respond the way that we do, it's a fascinating exercise. I think we all should be doing it. And you mentioned the scientific method, which is a great thing to remind people of too. The goal here is you have some sort of a question that you want answered. So you do the background research. That's the first step. You try to go out there to see if anybody else has done anything close to this as far as experimentation. Culture Hive, obviously a great resource for that. There are many other ones on the web. There's arts research and cultural research all over the place from many different countries available online. Based on that research, you construct some sort of a hypothesis. You want to know exactly what is going to happen here, and you have an idea. You take a guess, given the information that you have, that the experimental results will be X. You then do the experiment and go to see if you can prove or disprove your hypothesis. You analyze the results. If your hypothesis was true at that point, you report the results out into the world, kind of the payback system there, the karma gets back to people that are going through that same process. And if your hypothesis is false, then you need to figure out why, and you need to take it back, construct a new hypothesis, and go through that process again. So if you do this scientific method, especially in the realm of marketing, you cannot fail. You will continue to improve your outbound communications, your marketing, getting people in the door, all of those sorts of things, because you will be approaching it systematically and you will be learning as you go. And if you do that and you constantly make these adjustments, failure is not an option. You will just keep getting better and better.
That's a great tip, Ron. And it's an approach that's taken over here with the Culture Hive Academies, the digital marketing academy on which you mentor, but also the Audience Diversity Academy. And they always start with what's the question? What am I trying to do? And they've had kind of questions like, how do we create content that will deepen our audience engagement? How do we shape a new platform to connect schools with arts organizations shaped by user feedback and consultation? A great one was, how can we use gamification to collect data and aid segmentation from our non-ticketed audiences? Now, that was a great example. It was used by an arts organization here in the UK called FACT in Liverpool. And they are an organization that has a cinema and ticketed audiences. They had lots of data from that part of their audience base, but they also have fascinating galleries. And they had no data from that large part of their audience. So they asked themselves that question, how can we use gamification to collect the data? And they came up with this great idea, which was a kind of BuzzFeed type quiz. Can you remember those? They're still happening, aren't they? You know, which language am I?
That which kind of thing. Which even Sondheim character are you?
Exactly. Exactly. Which one would you be, Mom?
Sweeney Todd.
Okay, back to
worst
back
pies
to
in London. Yes.
And they had this exhibition coming up, which was called Type Motion, which was all about fonts and typefaces. So they asked the question in this kind of BuzzFeed quiz way, what typeface are you? So something fun that would kick off all that social sharing. But what they were cleverly actually asking was, what audience segment are you? And doing that, they matched the typefaces with audience segments, and they got a lot of information that enabled them to really start tailoring and targeting their e-communications. It worked for them. But they started off, as you say, with an all-important question.
Wow, they were able to associate different types of audiences with different typefaces?
Yeah. And what they did, interestingly, the added benefit that they got from this was that it created the opportunity internally to really think about who their audience was and what made them tick, and encouraging everyone in the organization to become familiar with their segmentation model. So it was win-win. They got the data, but also improved their internal communications and got everyone, in fact, understanding more about their audiences.
That's fantastic. I mean, I will tell you as well, for all of you listeners out there, this is one of the best ways to get yourself re-excited about your work. If you're feeling like you're sort of slogging along and not enjoying the aspect of getting the word out there and engaging with patrons in the ways that you have in the past, asking a question like this can just light a fire. It's so fascinating to watch behavior and to have an idea for how people are going to respond, and then to see if you are right or not, and then changing your experiment based on what you learn. It's fascinating. It's something I can't get enough of, and I go around the world sharing that enthusiasm and trying to get people excited by the same process, and it is fantastic. Let me kind of throw an experiment back your way. This is something that did a number of years ago. The goal was obviously, well, not obviously, but the goal was to bring in new audience members to a theater production. And so we asked the question, you know, what is the way to do that? We want to do something connected to people that have already seen the show. How do we get them to pass on information to somebody else? So this theater company was already handing out little postcards. So you'd walk out of the theater after seeing the play. As you were leaving, there was a stack of postcards by the door, and they're little, you know, 2-inch by 4-inch, basically playing card size postcards that talked about the production and asked you to pass those on to somebody else. So we decided to do an experiment around this based on some of the influence work by Robert Cialdini. For you Cialdini fans out there, this is reciprocity, the idea that if we do something for somebody else, that there is a built-in pressure that starts in that person that wants to have them do something for us in return. We decided to put that into an experiment, and this is how the experiment played out. On every other performance, we had somebody standing at the door, and he or she had a basket, and the postcards were in there, and along with the postcards, we had Hershey's Kisses, little chalks, little Hershey's Kisses wrapped up in individual foil. And for everybody that left the theater, we asked them to take a kiss. We want them to have a piece of chocolate as they walked out. And as they took the chocolate, we also asked them to please hand this postcard on to somebody else, somebody at work, somebody at church, somebody at, you know, wherever else they're going that they think might like to see this production. So that's on, let's say, even performances. And on the odd-numbered performances, we just had people handing out the postcards. We did not have the chocolates. The postcards were different. There was an A postcard and a B postcard. They both had two different promo codes. Postcard A had a code that gave you $4 off the ticket. B had a different promo code that gave you the same $4 off a ticket. So we were able to know, based on the responses of the promo codes, who came from which night and whether that postcard came from somebody that received chocolates or not. Now, Carol, what do you think happened in the end?
Well, this is a bit of classic A-B testing, Ron, isn't it? With added chocolate inducement. So as a chocolate lover, I'm guessing that the response was much better with chocolate than without chocolate. Tell me if I'm wrong.
The response was 2-1.
Wow.
We got twice as many tickets sold from folks that received chocolate versus those who did not receive the chocolate. Now, the idea behind that is because we gave them something, we gave them the chocolate, and then we made a request of them. We asked them to then pass this postcard on to somebody else. That reciprocity kicked in at that point, and I don't know if they remembered it more often or they felt like they just wanted to pass it off, but somehow in their brain, the adding of the chocolate made that motivation come to light. So that is the type of experiment that we're talking about here, experiments that work. Now, can all of you go out and do this at your front door? Yes, you can. Certainly. Try to push the envelope a little bit more. I want to hear about the experiments that you've run. But you want to reproduce this? Go for it. Chocks are cheap, tickets are not, and I think this would be a great thing for you to try out in your organization. But more than anything else, it introduces this concept of scientific method, how we go through this, and how every marketing thing that we're doing should be some sort of an experiment.
Do you think there's obviously a lot of psychology behind that, Ron? Do you think that different countries, different cultures respond in different ways? I can remember in Spain them running an anti-smoking campaign, and the results were that smoking went through the roof. And I'm not sure if in Spain they're more rebellious or less inclined to respond to those direct marketing messages. I think they then came up with very different approaches, and smoking started to go down. Any Spanish listeners to this podcast, do let me know. But do you think there are differences in terms of different parts of the world?
Oh, of course. I mean, there's differences just between the UK and the US, and that's one of the reasons why we have this podcast. Some people don't like chocolate. If you are not a chocolate lover, or as an example, I remember a couple of times we made a change in the middle. We had a few people that were diabetic that couldn't eat regular chocolate because of the sugar content. So we had to add an option of sugar-free candies, and we did that on that night as well. So they could choose, you know, I hate adding more choice, but they could choose a regular chocolate. They could choose a sugar-free chocolate. And the fact that we even thought about them made such a difference to those people that needed the sugar-free. That might have affected things as well. That might have made them even more likely to pass on a postcard to somebody else because we went a little bit more out of our way. But yeah, there's a huge difference between cultures. It's a huge difference just between people. You know, if you're not into chocolates, that's not going to affect you. Now, in Spain, I'm not familiar with that experiment, but I'd also want to know, was there competing advertising by other cigarette companies that were making it cool to smoke, and we were fighting that concept? Or, you know, what are the details behind why that didn't work and what ultimately worked? But yeah, it's, you know, some of these things, you give it your best guess based on the information that you have, you move forward, and then you actually learn more when you fail, not when you succeed. So if you come out at the end and you're like, this did not go at all like I thought it was going to, that is great information, and it should be used to set up your next experiment.
You mentioned the F word there, Ron.
Which F word was that?
I've got
fail. Oh, yes, word, I was thinking obviously. Of something else. I was thinking of fun.
Don't have to press the delete button, the mute button. You're safe. And it just reminded me of something that one of the people on one of the early digital marketing academies said. Lovely woman called Jessica Zeibland. And she worked for the, I'm not sure if she's still there, for the National Centre for Circus Arts in London. And she said, I work with people who experiment and fail in much more painful ways every day to get amazingly, shockingly good at something. And this had inspired her to experiment, to fail, and that she needed to be as risk-taking and up for experimenting and failing as the circus performers that she was promoting.
That's really rich. It reminds me that for those of you who are in leadership positions at cultural organizations, when was the last time you went to your staff meeting and told them it was okay to fail? Probably been a while. I don't know. Maybe that's your thing. So if that is, I applaud you. But why not let them know that, hey, if they screw something up majorly and they learn something from it, I would much rather have an employee that does that than somebody who's afraid to experiment or doesn't feel like they have the mandate to move forward and make some of these decisions and try new things out. We want people to always be trying new things. We want people to be constantly experimenting. And some of that comes from the top. So if you are in a leadership position, take the time, tell everybody, hey, you know, I want you to be doing experiments. And if you completely blow it up, that's okay. I know that in advance. Just make sure you tell me what you learned from it and share that with the rest of the staff and ultimately with the sector. And then we will all be doing what we need to be doing to help each other out and help answer these questions on how to get people to respond to marketing and a lot of the other things that we're dealing with.
And that's so important, Ron. You know, at the AMA conference in Liverpool recently, I think you learn so much from speakers who share what went wrong. And if they're open and prepared to share the challenges they faced, where they failed, how they turned that around, we all get so much more out of it than something that's more glossy and look how good we are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's we all want to put our best foot forward. And we don't learn as much from that when we hide our failures. that's making it much more likely that everybody else is going to encounter that same failure. So that's why it's really important to share all of the information that happens. And there's a beautiful thing that science protects you. As a scientist, it almost doesn't matter whether you win or lose, or you were right or you were not right. The method that you go through to share the information is what's important. And what you learn from that powers other people's experiments going forward into the future, and also allows you to adjust yours so that you can continue on and try something new. And you're protected by the science there. The science doesn't care whether you were right or you failed. The science just helps you to report, gives you a structure to be able to share this with other people. And that's so important.
So wise words, Ron, as always. So we've talked about watching and adapting, keeping thinking and adjusting as you go. We've talked about sharing as much as you can, even if it's not pretty or perfect, or if you've failed along the way. And we've talked about the importance of cutting through all that noise and all the boundaries of traditional marketing mm-hmm. planning and tactics.
Just think, how much benefit would you gain were you to plan micro experiments like this all the time for your organization, and then use those data to promote the concepts that you're trying to put in place, and the fact that you're also sharing that out there with the sector and everybody's learning from that. I mean, that's Culture Hive is a great base for that, and it's something we all should be doing, and it's fun too.
Oh, thanks, Ron. Do contact us if you want to comment on anything we've spoken about. If you're experimenting, let us know about what you're up to so that we can share it with others. You can email us at culturehive@a-m-a.co.uk. So that's the episode, everyone. As I said, get in touch and let us know your thoughts and any ideas for future episodes. And we'll catch you next time as we discuss relevant issues in the world of marketing and leadership in arts and culture.
Get out there and experiment. Let's stop messing around. Let's get some good data. Let's share it with each other, and let's push our ideas forward. See you next time.
Thanks, Ron.
You've been listening to Culture Voice. If you like this episode, subscribe and stay connected to our international conversations on the marketing of arts and culture.